Have you met my friend Worry? He hangs out with me most days. Perhaps you've already are well acquainted with him. I think one reason we're friends is that he's so concerned about me. He's focused on me. He knows me so well. Not everyone knows the things that I'm afraid of, but he does. Occasionally, Worry moves in and just lives with me. Like most relationships, our relationship is not perfect. You know, Worry likes to stay up late at night talking and kind of keeps me awake, and I'm exhausted in the morning, but I think he means well. And the thing about Worry loves to cook, and that's really nice of Worry, but you know, when I eat what he serves, my stomach is just in knots. And to be honest, he doesn't have very good manners either. He just interrupts me a lot, whatever I'm doing, and he hangs out with me all the time like a shadow. He goes wherever I go, and he gets a little possessive sometimes, demanding more and more of my time and attention. And come to think of it, Worry really never has anything good to say. The more I think about it, Worry's not such a good friend to have. So perhaps he really doesn't care about my well-being that much. But, to tell you the truth, I'm a little worried about telling him we can't be friends anymore. All right, a little bit of fun, but I'm just confessing. I'm a worrier. I know better, but I do worry sometimes. Sometimes just about little things, like I worry about being on time at places. And so that gets me wound up. I still feel some anxiety every time I get up in front to speak, even though I've been doing it for several years. It's because I want to be effective. And I worry about my kids at times, and I worry about the church at times, and I worry about conflict with people, and I can't concentrate until things are resolved. And so that's the way worry works in my life. You have things that you probably worry about. When this coronavirus struck, I really wasn't worried about getting this disease or what it might do to me, and I'm still not. But what did make me worry was, how are we going to keep everybody connected, and how are we going to keep everybody growing spiritually when we can't meet together? And so I worried about that. And then I worried about adopting all these new technology and methods of communicating with you and how we're going to stay connected. I worried about offerings for a little bit, but in April, man, you came through, and I really appreciate that. And I have to tell you, during this whole ordeal, this whole crisis, I've been carrying a burden for you. I've been very concerned about how you're faring, and so I want things to go well. But, you know, worrying doesn't change one thing about any of those circumstances. Worrying only changes me. It only affects me. It's an unhealthy thing. And so I've taken some steps to address worry in my life, and I hope you're going to do the same. Jesus is going to help us today with this message. Now, there are a number of people who are genuinely afraid of coronavirus. The dread of getting that virus unnerves you, and you're very worried about it. Add to that the distress of being homebound for all this time, and probably several weeks more, and all the scary media reports that we get. According to Statista.com, the two top fears related to coronavirus are for family and for economic stability. Last week, the news reported that in March, prescriptions for anti-anxiety meds went up 34%, and alcohol purchases have gone up 55%. Americans are freaking out, to be honest. And the thing is that worry and anxiety and depression and the like were already pandemic in the American culture before COVID-19 ever came along. And just for example, just in the last couple decades, the death rate of anxiety drug overdoses has quadrupled. Depression is skyrocketing, especially among teens and girls in particular. Elementary children with depression and anxiety are committing suicide. A third grader right here in the church's neighborhood committed suicide last year. Anxiety contributes to many health issues and negative behavior patterns. 103 million Americans have high blood pressure. 4.6 million have stomach ulcers. 14.6 million are alcoholics. 30% of the population can't sleep. thrust us into this pandemic, and then all those symptoms multiply. All those issues get really big. So with so much worry about this pandemic world, what the world needs now more than anything is a word from Jesus. And he speaks to us. He understands. He gets it. He knows we worry. He knows we have fears. He also knows that's not good for us. And so if you want to turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, from the Sermon on the Mount, beginning with verse 25, Jesus teaches us three tactics to counter worry and fears. So let's read some of these verses. Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 25. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the fields grow? They do not labor or spin, and yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Now, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow's thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." And so the first tactic that I want to bring to your attention from Jesus here is active faith. Active faith. Jesus reassures us that we don't need to worry if we'll just focus our faith on God. He's our loving Heavenly Father. He cares for us, and he's all-powerful. He's in control. He's watching over you. He's got this, you know? We just trust him. And then Jesus looked around, and he began to cite some simple illustrations for no reason to worry when you're trusting God. He points out to the birds. He points out the flowers and all that. And that made me think, just a few weeks ago, an impressive red-shouldered hawk perched on the rail of our deck over our pond. Just a huge bird. He was regal and imposing and unthreatened. Given the season, he may have been hunting or had mating on his mind or something, but I'll tell you what was not on his mind. COVID-19. He wasn't worried about that. And that's true of all birds that have been flitting around our yards, you know, the cardinals, wrens, woodpeckers, and what have you. Not one of them is worried about catching coronavirus. None of them are wearing face masks. The robins have been so busy nesting and finding worms, but I've never seen a robin hoarding TP or hand sanitizer or fretting over getting the harvest in from the field and storing in silos full of grain just in case. No, you know, Jesus wants us to learn from these simple creatures who just rely on God. My grandma Lang loved birds, and she taught me to appreciate them, taught me a little about them. Her favorite song of faith was, "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." It comes from this teaching of Jesus. She didn't just like the song and this Bible text. Man, she lived it. She lived it. In fact, one day there was a front page write-up in the newspaper about my Grandma Lang and her picture there, big headline. Let me give you a little background. Grandma Lang couldn't hear very well, even with her hearing aids later in life. She just, you had to really project her voice, and she had to be looking right at you to read your lips to get it across. And she was slow mobily. She was kind of snail-like with her walker. Her eldest son had died of cancer, and that left an ache in her heart. And while visiting with my aunt in Tennessee one time, she went out to get the morning paper, and she fell and broke her hip. And then, while she was in the hospital, recovering from that hip surgery and some heart issues that came up in addition to that, her house, full of memories, her house that she had lived in for nearly 60 years on the same corner, it burned down. When interviewed by the news about all this, all she could do was count her blessings. That's all she talked about, how good God had been to her. She was the favorite patient in that hospital. She set a record for the most cards received by a patient. Her radiant spirit, her deep abiding faith was contagious. And a large portion of my faith has been inspired by hers. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 explains, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the certainty of things not seen. See, we can't see what lies ahead. We can hope, but we can't really see what lies ahead and how all this COVID-19 thing's going to play out. We don't have to worry about the outcome, though. We know God's got this. All we have to do is put our trust in our Heavenly Father. Jesus reminds us that God is reliable. So, you know what? If we're stuck inside for a few more weeks or even for a year, God's got this. He's got you. And even if we contract this dreaded coronavirus, no matter what, you know that ultimately, we are safe with God. We have an unshakable faith because the one in whom we place our faith is unshakable. He's unshakable. He's not fretting about coronavirus at all. Jesus is teaching us to live out what we believe, to actively put into practice what we are convicted about God. Some of you have lost your job or lost thousands in your retirement investments, lost customers, lost income. I'm not minimizing your concern. These are real things. But there's no need for us to panic. It's time to pray. It's time to lean on the Lord. It's time to demonstrate to your children and to your neighbors what faith looks like. Anticipate God's provision and blessings, and go forward. Live with a confident, deep, abiding trust in God who provides for us. Now, that doesn't mean we just sit back and expect God just to dump the blessings into our lap. You know, we don't have to worry about it anymore. We're just, God's just going to take care of everything. You know, birds don't worry, but neither do they sit in their nest, never foraging for food. Right? They get busy. And God expects us to be responsible, trusting Him, and doing all we can to earn a living. When my wife Brenda was let go with a bunch of faculty from the Cincinnati Christian University, that was a loss. There went 60% of our income, you know, and all our benefits. And she didn't waste a second. She didn't sit around moping or expecting God just to, you know, dump something in her lap. It wasn't long before she was working 5 different part-time jobs to make ends meet. And then within a couple years, she had established a thriving music studio that's going great, and she's having a great time with it. God took care of us in some amazing ways. There's no way the math added up during that season, during that time. I don't know how he did it, but he did. Live your faith. Live your faith. God will take care of all these things. The second tactic to overcome worry and fear is priority pursuits. Prioritize. Priority pursuits. And Jesus is challenging worriers. What are your primary concerns? What's got you all worked up? What drives you? What is it you're really after? What is it you want? See, we don't have to live frantically like people who do not know God. Look again what Jesus said in Matthew 6, starting with verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The world is building their little empires, you know, bustling around, trying to do all this, and sometimes at the cost of family and indebtedness. Houses are built on sand, like we talked about just last Sunday. We erect great cathedrals to our gods, don't we? Like Great American Ballpark and Paul Brown Stadium and Kings Island and Kenwood Town Center and Kroger Marketplace and Target and Home Depot and Best Buy and Toyota and Cheesecake Factory and Starbucks. Don't take away our Starbucks, right? We give our offerings to Amazon and Etsy and Zillow. We sit there and worship at Netflix and Disney Plus and Xbox. Our fellowship community is Facebook and other social media. It's where we learn our values today. It's we learn what we need to eat and drink and wear. And so, and Jesus asks a provocative question. Isn't life more than these? Isn't life more than these? What have you been fretting about as this COVID-19 threat just keeps continuing? It just goes on and on. How am I ever going to get a haircut? What am I going to do? I look like the Shaggy Dog. You know, what if we run out of something like TP or coffee? What am I supposed to do about my doctor's appointment? Oh, I'm worried about Grandma, how she's doing in the nursing home, and we can't go see her. Will I have a job when this thing is even over? How are we going to make the rent this month? What if I get coronavirus? And these are all real concerns, I understand. But worrying about them doesn't make things better, does it? In fact, it makes it worse. Perhaps there are greater concerns for us to be focusing on. You get to choose what you focus on. You get to choose your pursuits. Jesus said, seek first. Top priority. Seek first His kingdom and righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. So what is your mind centered on? On kingdom aims and blessings? What God's doing? On spiritual matters? Are you plagued by the what-ifs in this world? Or are you stimulated by the possibilities of what the Lord is trying to do in our world? We keep hearing the word unprecedented in relation to this pandemic. But it's really not our first pandemic here. It is not. 1918, the Spanish flu had almost an identical kind of impact, infecting a third of the world's population, killing over 675,000 U.S. citizens. Society had to do what we're doing. They just shut down. You couldn't, there was social distancing, you know, even churches couldn't meet. They didn't have the convenience of all the electronic technology that we have, Wi-Fi and internet and so on, to communicate. They were really separated, isolated. But I heard a fascinating account about the churches in Nashville, Tennessee during the Spanish flu in 1918. In particular, the Russell Street Church of Christ mobilized volunteers to tend to the sick, and they even became a temporary hospital facility for those who couldn't afford hospital care, like the poor and the African Americans. You know, they're really helping out. Many of the Christians risked and sacrificed their own health just to tend to the sick. It sounds very Jesus-like as he reached out and touched the unclean lepers to bless them and heal them. You know, after the Spanish flu crisis ended, the Russell Street Church exploded with growth because the community had experienced the love of Jesus through them during the crisis. And that's kingdom first amidst the worries of a pandemic. Western Hills Church family, I'm wondering, what is God calling us to do during this pandemic? What does He want us to do for the kingdom in our neighborhood? Instead of worrying, what if we really concerned ourselves with some creative ways to disciple others even when we can't meet face to face? How are we going to do that? Have you thought about that? Are you working on that? What if we spend time praying for our missionaries? What about working on our spiritual development, trying to develop the rhythms of Jesus in our lives? I mean, what spiritual disciplines have you been really working on to nurture your spirit, like Bible reading and songs of faith, memorizing scripture, having online Bible studies with your friends, having spiritual talks with family around the dinner table, dialoguing about faith online with your friends who are yet to believe? You know, I can tell you that a few things that are going on. Some of our life groups are using Zoom to meet online for their fellowship, for their Bible studies, and that's a powerful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Stacy Truesdale is caring for children of nurses and other frontline workers. She does the child care while they go to work. Jeffrey Matthews is putting a lot of time into producing these videos so that we can share the gospel with our friends and we can all participate in worship together. Some of you have told me how you're making protective masks for other people, not just for your own household, but for others. In fact, if you're interested in using your time to make masks for others, man, I have a good project for you. You contact me, you text me, you call me or something, and we'll talk about that. Our leadership team is working on some creative missional ways that we can share the kingdom of God with people in our city and in our neighborhoods during this crisis. We're trying to come up with some things that we can do. We've already done a few things. Priority pursuits. Priority pursuits of the kingdom will reduce our worries. Because, you know, when we're living for God and pursuing His kingdom objectives and righteousness, He's taking care of all our needs and He's getting our mind off ourselves. That faith is unshakable because the one in whom we place our trust and because the one who rules the kingdom is unshakable. And so Jesus concludes this wise counsel in Matthew 6 with what He says in verse 34. He says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So the final tactic to defeat worry and fear is a healthy perspective, a healthy mindset. Most worry comes from focusing on things that we can't control. Worry won't keep your teenager safe, right? Worry won't change your diagnosis or rekindle your relationship with your spouse, or it won't guarantee your company's going to survive after this pandemic. We can dream, we can plan for tomorrow with very good intentions. We can take wise precautions, and we should. But, and it's also true that our choices, we know that the choices we make today do affect what happens tomorrow. We know that, but obviously we cannot control tomorrow. No sense in getting all worked out about something that we can't control. We just have to take what comes. But we trust the Lord who is in control, whether things are good or bad. We know He's operating and we know He has our well-being at heart. There's an old saying that says, "Don't borrow trouble." And that's basically what Jesus is saying. It probably comes from what Jesus taught here. Don't start fretting about tomorrow, that it's not even here yet. We've got enough to deal with today. We don't need to grab something from tomorrow's and worry about those woes. Corrie ten Boom, who survived the Nazi concentration camp at Ravensbrück, advised, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. And that's so true. So maintaining a healthy, realistic perspective can eliminate our worry. There's ample medical evidence that worry is the source of disease and distress in our lives. It's going to make you miserable, even shorten your life. It can reduce your productivity. It's like trying to do everything while you're pulled around this ball and chain all the time. But faith in God gives us a much better perspective and helps us then function in a healthy way. A week or two ago, I initiated an online discussion about things that we might be able to do instead of worrying. And several people chimed in. Connie Lucas from our church family sent me a reply that I want you to hear. I love what she said. She said, "I have to tell you that when I focus on Jesus, it makes me realize how truly blessed I am." She said, "I don't need to fret about this virus. You see, if the worst happens, I am that much closer to my true home. Then I realize how heaven is just going to wow me. I won't have to deal with people trying to take things from me or hurt me. I won't have a thing to worry about. No more rent, food bills, utility bills, no tears, no pain, no sickness. So what do I really have to worry about? That is a good perspective. That's a good perspective that's grounded in faith. One of the things that has helped me with worrying is singing. When I worship, things that seem so worrisome shrink in importance, and then God looms large, and it anchors me. My spirit's lifted. I'm assured of His love, His power, His presence. It's as the song sings, I raise a hallelujah, my weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah, heaven comes to fight for me. Sing a little louder, louder than my unbeliefs, or louder than my worries. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, set your mind on things above. In Philippians 4, 8, he also urged, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Where's your mind focused? You get to choose. A spirit of gratitude, for example, is a good mind focus. It brings worry into submission. Last week, I also challenged my Facebook, in my Facebook video devotions, I challenged, let's be thankful every day. Let's think of things that we're thankful for. In fact, when worry starts to well up inside you, push the pause button and try to list 5 things that you're thankful for that day instead of the worry. It can strangle worry. When you meet around your dinner table with your family during this pandemic, ask each family member to name at least one specific thing that they're thankful for that day. It creates a positive mood. It gets everyone's mind off the worries and complaints and onto the goodness of God. Zaiden Nutt posted a story that moved me about a 93-year-old man in a hospital in Italy. Concerning this coronavirus, he was asked to pay the cost of the respirator for a day. And when they told him that, the man began to cry. And the doctor advised him not to cry over the bill. But this elderly gentleman made the doctors cry when he said, I do not cry about the money. I have enough money to pay. I can afford this. I cry because I've been breathing God's air for 93 years, but I never paid for it. It takes 500 euros to use the respirator in the hospital for a day so I can breathe. Do you know how much I owe God? I have never thanked God for this before. And what a spirit. When we breathe freely without pain and disease, it's easy to take air for granted, isn't it? But when we must have it, when we can't breathe without the assistance of artificial respiration, costly, then we realize the value. Thank God for a lifetime of breathing freely. Every breath is a gift from God. We need to have a thankful spirit. And when we're showing our gratitude to God, worries will just diminish. Imagine you are with the disciples in the sea in a raging storm. And they're not just afraid. They know good and well that no one in that boat is going to survive the storm. But Jesus, He's asleep. And maybe we think Jesus is not paying attention right now. Why doesn't He stop this killer virus? Wake up, Jesus! But listen, Jesus wasn't asleep in that boat because He didn't care. No, He was resting peacefully because He wasn't worried. He wasn't worried. And when they roused Him, He calmly spoke and halted the storm like that. In an instant, it was perfectly still, peaceful, calm. I picture the disciples so much in my mind. in the sudden quiet. It's just been raging, and now it's just suddenly completely still. They're dripping wet. They're still breathing hard. They're gripping the rail, and they're now staring at the one exceedingly greater than that uncontrollable killer storm. He subdued it with a word. Is that the Lord you believe in? Is that the Lord you trust in? When we put our faith in the unshakable Lord, we're not going to be worried or shaken. You will be awed, and you'll be calm about the things of this world. We have an unshakable faith because the one in whom we place our trust, and because the one who rules the kingdom, and because the one who gives us perspective, he's unshakable. You know what? If you're carrying a load of worry today, you need someone to pray with you, would you please call me at 251-2232 or any of the contact information that's on this website. You can get a hold of me. I would love to pray with you, and we'll just lift this up into the hands of a mighty God who loves you. Maybe today you want to make a decision to follow Jesus, and if you want to talk to with me about that, contact me in the same way, and I'll be glad to help you.